Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Knight. One moment.
Yes, sir. I sure thank you that Dr. Oliver get over.
Yes, sir.
I'm so grateful to you, and I don't know what else to say except I'll do my damnedest to prove you right.
Well, thank you. I don't think the last time we talked that I made it clear what our endorsement policies are. Every time I read Hearst newspapers, endorse or Scripps Howard, this was this big chain idea. So what I did some months ago was to write a memo to our editors and told them to treat the campaign objectively, and then 3 weeks ago I wrote each one of them for a personal estimate of the campaign, and they were in substantial agreement, and then I told them to proceed as they wished, and at the time of their choosing, because it suited our purpose to be earlier in Florida and late in Charlotte, for instance, you see.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't write a blanket editorial. No. I have done this, but I thought this year that we'd try something different, let these individual editors come to their determinations and make their endorsements at the time that was best suited to their local city.
I'll work so hard. I think that's a good plan. I'll work so hard to be worthy of it, and I want you to feel that I've requested you do this as a duty. Pick up that phone and call me and tell me your ideas on things, particularly when they differ from mine.
Well, I'd hope to do that.
Just remember that I ask you to do it, and it's not presumptuous on your part, because I have respect for your patriotism and your judgment, and you have a lot of sources of information that in your areas that I don't have, and we will have differences every day, and that's a good thing about America, but the president needs to hear the other side. Mr. Rayburn used to say that he's usually surrounded by people that have got the biggest job they ever had in their life, and most of them want to keep it, and most of them want to please him, and he doesn't always get it with a bark off.
Yes, I know what you mean.
So I don't want to become a captive. I want to get it with a bark off, and then I can evaluate it. But will you just remember to do that?
Well, sir, I've felt somewhat inhibited from doing that during the campaign after it's over.
That's fine. We've got lots of serious problems, but I'm meeting them just as fast as I know how. I had a terrible blow last week with one of my best people, but...
Well, of course, what people are saying is, why didn't he know that?
Well, Hoover has interviewed of 200-odd, and there's no suspicion of any one of the 200-odd, and it's why I don't know my wife is a murderer and would kill our two daughters if she might do it today, and I come in tonight and find them all shot, but... the first person I called when they told me about it was the FBI assistant director that Hoover has signed to us, and he said that cannot be true. I played golf with him 50 times this year. I'm in his office 2 hours a day. I go with his family and my family and 6 kids on Sundays. We're in the same church. We take Holy Communion together. We're both devout Catholics. He's never missed but one mass. And that is when he's going around the world, and he's had every check in the world. He's had a Q clearance. He's had he's a colonel in the Air Force. He's just been cleared by the Defense Department for the most sensitive things. And it's pure frame-up, and it can't be. And I said, well, I have to ask his resignation, and I've done that, so go out to the hospital and get it. And within an hour, I had his resignation. There are some indications that he had inclinations of this way, but nobody can ever point to but two of them. One was 1959. He did not tell them then he's working for me. They didn't know he's with me, or they'd probably call me. But there was nobody in the room with him and nobody around him. He wasn't playing with anybody. They just, like if you walked in my office and police came in and said, well, we suspect you, so they put investigate suspicious on the blotter. Later, someone has come in with doctored ink and put pervert. We think that may have been the last few days on the 59 blotter. The
59 report never got to you, is it?
Never got to me, never heard of it, never saw it. Never got to Kennedy. The clearance was asked for White House Pass in 61 and again in 62. Hoover kept the investigation suspicious. It came over the next day in 59, but it meant nothing to him. He put it in his files. When Secret Service asked 61, it had been there 2 years, he sent it over to them. They looked at it. They didn't even think it was important enough to send up to their boss. The head of the division didn't even see it, didn't know it. He had all these clearances. He was colonel in the Army. He was going to Goldwater's meetings. He'd had 52 meetings with Goldwater on sensitive matters, the highest sensitive matters, with nothing but top flight Army Air Force people. So they left it in their file. Dillon wrote to the Attorney General last Saturday. I asked him to carefully find out why I didn't get up. And they said, here's a man that's got the highest clearances of the government. Here's a man that's got the highest Army thing, the atomic bomb, the space, everything. He's been an officer for 20 years. And he's had a full FBI in 58. I asked the Hoover's man last night, I said, when did you have your last FBI? He said, 42. I said, how do I know that you're not doing this? Well, he said that we can't give everybody one every year with 3 million people because, God almighty, everyone costs thousands of dollars. And what right do we have to believe this? There are some very strong circumstantial evidence that this man who was supposed to be working that night, the Army-Navy Club, it's next door to the Republican National Committee. They eat there. He's a waiter there. This Grenier bribed one of our boys in the National Committee who worked for Reuters too, paid him $1,000 and promised to give him $4,000 more. And this night this fellow was not working. He missed his shift. He was standing outside of the building when Jenkins came out. Jenkins got an anonymous call a couple of days before telling him to beware, and he thought he's some prankster. He came out. They apparently walked down to the building together. We don't have proof of that, but that's what it indicates. He left the K. Graham party at 8:10, and he was at the Capitol, 3rd and Independence, way across town at 8:35, so it all happened in 25 minutes. And Hoover is very upset because they had four policemen there. That's very abnormal. One might walk in, maybe two. They had four for the occasion, and counting the time he walked and the time he traveled, they'd think it'd take 20 minutes to get to the Capitol. All of this happened in 25 minutes, and the Republican committee knew about it long before any of us. It was published on Saturday that Miller knew it in his campaign train. They think they've got a fellow today that is telling a story that Jenkins approached him in a park on a certain day and night, and the FBI checked it out and found out that Jenkins wasn't even in town that period, and that they pressed a little further, and they think he's been employed by the committee to say this.
Well, now, there are rumors of other things that they bring up.
They are. They have made a remarkable discovery that 1960, some official of some company made a contribution to the Kennedy-Johnson campaign of $1,200, and Bobby Baker received it and evidently transmitted it to us. They're going to say it came from a corporation, and the man didn't want to do it, and the pressure was put on him. I never heard of it, don't know anything about it, but the affidavit shows that these officials of one of the companies said that he wanted all the men to contribute to the campaign and to support who they wanted to, and to contribute to both parties. And this fellow didn't think he ought to contribute. They urged him to contribute. And he made a check for $1,200 to the Johnson Campaign Committee, and the committee raised a magnificent total of $4,200. And his was $1,200 of it. I had never seen him or heard of him. He fell out with the company, and so that's one big break. Baker collected money for a period of 10 or 15 years, both before I went to the Senate, after I left for the Senatorial Committee, just like Goldwater did. He ran it for 8 years for the Republicans. He told Baker, said, if they ever investigate me in 58, I'll go to the penitentiary 10 times. Baker's collected a good deal of money and divided it among 67 Democratic senators, because he was the secretary for all of them, and that was kind of a part of his duty. This was in 62, but I had nothing to do with the committee, and I wasn't even a senator then. That's 2 years later, but it does connect Baker with money, and it does get a distribution of funds, and those things are not good. But the only thing I know to do with these things, we got 3 million of them. Baker was there before I came for 10 years. He was elected by both.